Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
If you could go ahead and invite your friends to join us on Facebook Live. We do that every Sunday. And last week I was out of town, got a chance to see what we do on Facebook Live. So it is incredible. And as I was watching, I noticed people from around the country was watching. And it was a powerful message. The singing was incredible. So let's do that again. Let's keep using the media to help get the word out. So today we're talking about breakthrough love. Alexander's talked about how they were able to have a breakthrough. They had hit a ceiling, hit a wall. And it's interesting, Roland said when they first got together, they did not argue. They just were enjoying life together. And lo and behold, the storm hit. The storm hit. And they were able to make it through the storm. And our prayer is that for all of our married people, that, let me let you in on a little secret, the storm is coming. Everybody will hit the storm, but hopefully we'll make it because we remain in love with God and in love with one another. Breakthrough love. Let's go ahead and get started. You know, I did some research. You can put up the next slide here. America is in love with the concept of being in love. 60% of the songs that are made, popular songs that the Billboard Top 100 plays, 60% of them, the lyrics talk about love and relationships. So, you know, we just love the idea of being in love. So, in fact, the greatest love song of all time is, what do you think is the greatest love song of all time? Well, as people came in, some of you were able to give your opinion. If This World Were Mine, Luther Vandross. If This World Were Mine, Luther Vandross. I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston. There's one Stevie Wonder as. Never heard that one, but I'm sure it was wonderful. I Will Always Love You. Okay, somebody didn't have a quiet time this morning. Now, if a married person wrote this, that's all right. Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye. All righty. And again, was I Will Always Love You. However, the greatest love song of all times, according to Billboard, Top 100 is, let's hear it, Julius. Y'all remember that?
My love, there's only you in my life.
Y'all remember that song?
The only thing that's right.
Endless Love, Lionel Richie and Diana Ross. That's what they said is the top love song of all time. You know, I feel bad for my young adults. I feel bad. Y'all missed the 80s. The music was amazing. The lyrics were so pure. Well, not everything. Not everything. But you had love songs that you could play and the kids could listen to and grandma could listen to. And wow. You know, it's so interesting, but the American culture is not the only culture that's been interested in love. When you look at Ancient world religions had gods and goddesses devoted to the concept of love. The Hindus, they have their own god of love, Kama Mamatha. You have ancient Egypt, Hathor, goddess of love. You have Eros, the god of love, lust, sexual activity. So it really, and then by the time the Romans came along, he became Cupid. One of the things that is consistent in all of these ancient cultures, they equated love with physical lust. You look across ancient cultures, and when you study out their gods, and the goddesses of love, they always made it about sexuality and desire. That was the culture. And you know, it's so interesting because it's so easy to get love and lust confused. It's very easy, especially the way our culture is set up and the way we hear music and the lyrics that's played and the movies that we watch. And you know, I'm grateful for the church. I am grateful for the church because in the church, we have an opportunity to do it God's way. There's nothing wrong with desire. There's nothing wrong with lust. Love. Just wanted to see if you were paying attention this morning. I couldn't get you. Now, let me try that again. There's nothing wrong with desire, love, and there's nothing wrong with sex in the confines of God's parameters. But the challenge that we have in our culture today, we're confused. We are very confused. And, you know, Angel said some good stuff last week, really good stuff. And I think one of the things he talked about, I believe, humility and taking those pills and you know, the little tic-tacs and making sure that we learn and grow what's important and what we're going to prioritize in our life. And I'll be honest with you, one of the areas where we need to be humble is in the area of relationships. In the area of relationships, we need to strive to be humble. Because even today, we feel like we can get help with our finances. We can get help with learning how to study the Bible with people. But do we value help in having healthy relationships? You know, when you look at the Proverbs, going over and we'll start in chapter 1, in verse 8, listen, my son, to your father's instructions and do not forsake your mother's teaching. He said, listen to instruction. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. In Proverbs chapter 3, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. Over and over again, the writer of Proverbs said, you got to listen. Listen. Get help. Instruction is very important. And especially in the second most important decision you ever make. Number one is our relationship with God. But number two, if we're going to spend the rest of our lives with someone, don't you think we ought to get some help? And the challenge is, some of us, we just don't get help. And we try to figure it out all on our own. Or we take cues from the world. So the way the world deals with relationships, that's how we're going to deal with relationships. Now, I have to admit, I'm proud of the young men we have in this church who are trying to do it the right way. I'm proud. We can encourage these young brothers. I'm proud of the young women in this church who are trying to do it God's way. And what does that mean? Celibacy. What does that mean? No sex with anybody until you're married. Until you say, I do, you don't. That means that's all it means. And that is really an archaic, old-fashioned, nah, we don't do that anymore. And even amongst believers, there are a lot of Christians, you know, who claim to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm dating now, and my girlfriend and I decided we're going to be celibate. You decided you're going to be celibate? Really? Well, what if you change your mind? It's kind of like, and you know, the world jumped on that. People wrote books about it. Oh, it's good to be celibate. It's what the Bible teaches. Now, I can honestly say my wife and I, we dated, and we were not sexually active until we got married. Dated almost 2 years. And this September, we celebrate 30 years of marriage. But I'll tell you this. It did not happen by chance. You don't get to decades of marriage randomly, by chance. It takes work. And I love the songs and the dance and the music, and it's all one big happy party. And you know, I got to be honest with you, I found this quote. If it made sense to get married, it makes sense to stay married and put in the effort and investment. You know what it's like when somebody's ready to get married? Oh my God, I have brothers, they come to, I'm ready, bro. Hold on, man. No, I'm ready. Hold on. Now let's talk this through. No, I'm ready. You sure? She's the one. She's the only one. Well, how many days you been on? One. But I know. But there are brothers and sisters who get infatuated with each other, and that's fine. If you have found someone that is good, I'm glad you're happy. The easiest thing to do is to plan a wedding. And have you ever noticed if you go on your job and somebody's getting married, everybody's happy and there's a wedding and celebrate, but people hate marriage? Because when you hit problems, they're like, just leave. Get somebody else. But that's the world's thinking. So we got to get out of the world's thinking. See, as a young man, I needed training in godliness and accountability because I had not seen successful marriages that I wanted to emulate. So as a young man and as a young couple, we were getting with a mature couple just about every week for years, talking through things. I'll be gut level honest with you. We have spent time with the Garmins, Joe and Edie Garmins. We have driven to Thomasville to get help with our marriage. We have seen people outside of the church, professional counselors, to get help with our marriage. My question is, what are you willing to do to make sure you have a healthy marriage? What are you willing to do? You know, I know we have a marriage retreat coming up. And we're going to have a couple come in from New York. They're going to talk about marriage between friends. And he's a therapist, and you know, she's been around a long time in the church. But at the stage where we are, for those of us who are married and we've been in the church for a while, no one should have to beg us to come to a marriage retreat. If you are a married person, it's your responsibility to put in the effort. It's no one else's responsibility. You got to put in the effort. You got to put in the investment because we pay for what we want. We want clothes, we go and buy. Nobody takes us shopping. We want to go on vacation, we go. Nobody plans that for us. We do what is important to us. Now, if you plan for your marriage to make it to the end, through the decades, you got to invest. See, that baby said amen. That baby wants some parents to make it. For our young couples, it's good to have that fellowship. It's good to have that learner spirit to come into the church and find somebody, or you come in as a couple and you're young in the faith. It's good to have that learner spirit to keep growing. Because I got to be gut level honest with you, the world is lost. And so many times we take our cues from Hollywood. We take our cues from what we see in the media. I think it's really sad, and I don't know her personally, but I think it's sad that J-Lo was swinging on a stripper pole for halftime in front of her daughter and other little girls that she had in a halftime show. Now, what are those little girls going to think? If I want to be a star, I got to do this. I mean, have we all just lost it? They're children. Can't we allow the children to be children and set an example in front of them? But you know, it's really deep. I went to Best Academy, and people were talking about the halftime show, and the ones who were most excited about it were the women. She looks good. She's in her 50s. She looks good. I just kept hearing that. Then one of them, I finally said, I have a relationship with their friendship. I said, I'm concerned about the example she's setting for young girls. I mean, come on. Have we forgotten? And we live in a city where there's sex trafficking? Come on, let's connect the dots. But it's really sad that the world is just out there. Can we please pray for Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union? Can we pray for them? Their 12-year-old son came home and said, I've made a decision. I want to be known as a girl. And I saw him on TV. He was saying, you know, Dwayne Wade said he had the courage to stand up for what he believes. He had the courage to make a decision about his life. And let's applaud that. I'm sure my Gen Zers are like, hey, he can do what he want to do. Why is that a bad thing? I'm sure some of my millennials are like, hey, don't judge. He can do what he want to do. Number one, what does the Bible say? But we got a problem with the Bible. So let's throw the Bible out. What does medical science say? The human brain, the decision part, the decision-making part of the brain is not developed until you hit 25. 25. So there are things that I did as a young man, a young boy, that we have done as kids, we didn't understand the consequences of our decisions. Now, I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm like, God, why did you make it that we couldn't mature until we were 25? But the brain is not even mature enough. So we're talking about science. It's kind of like giving a 12-year-old a loaded gun and say, figure out how to use it. Figure out how to use it. We're just going to let you make your own decisions. We got to get back to the Bible. Got to get back to the Bible. And I think if you're studying the Bible, I want to help you with this. It's time to do it God's way. And I will never apologize for saying it's time to do it God's way. I know that's not popular. I know people get offended. But I have to answer to God and not the standard of humanity, because that's an ever-changing standard. So what did God say about love? What was God's understanding of love? You know, God broke into humanity during the time of probably Hinduism. He was there with Abraham, probably during that time. But what God did, God allowed these cultures to set up their standard, and then he spoke. So we had a breakthrough, and God said, this is what love is. And what do you think, where was the first time love was mentioned in the Bible? The word love is in the Old Testament. Was it Genesis? See, love is so important to us. Is it that important to God? It is. But that's a very good study to do. You know, certain versions of the scriptures you read, it says, especially in NIV, it says in Genesis chapter 4, it's talking about Adam and Eve. It says, Adam made love to his wife, and she bore him a son. Now, when you go back and you study out that word, love in the original Hebrew, it has a different meaning. See, so much is lost in our culture because I love my wife, I love my daughter, I love my son, I love my job, I love soul food, I love movies, I love a little weird dog that just won't stop barking. It's like we use that word over and over and over, so a lot of times it loses its meaning. It loses its meaning. The first usage in the Hebrew of the word love was yada, yada, to know. To know, to know. And Adam knew her intimately. That's what it meant. But then, if you do further research, turn over to Genesis chapter 22. Because it gets very interesting in Genesis chapter 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Now, hopefully you caught it, what the Alexanders shared. They were doing okay until a test came. A storm changed the whole trajectory of their lives. And you know, life will do that. Life will do that. It's not God punishing us, but God is allowing us to grow in ways that we never would have grown. And they had a comfortable life. I know Roland personally. He was doing well. He was at the top of his career, top of his field. Several homes, known in the community. But God says, you know what? I got something else for you. And are we prepared to allow God to be God in our lives? Are we prepared to allow God to be the center of our focus? In Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, sometime later God tested Abraham, said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there on a mountain. Wow. Take your son, the one you waited all your life to have. Take him. Now, once you take him, I want you to sacrifice him. Because you know what? I know you love him. I know you love him. From experience, let me tell you this. God himself will test our hearts to see if what we love is more important than God. See, God at times will call us. Lay that relationship on the altar. No, God, you don't understand. Now, I'm not talking to married people who are struggling. Okay, I'm ready. That's not a sacrifice. That's a free will offering. God, you can have her back. No, I'm not talking about that. Because in an audience like this, our minds go different places. But God may challenge us, lay that career on the altar. Lay those dreams on the altar. But what about when he says, lay those children on the altar? See, I want you to love me more. I want you to love the giver of the gifts more than the gift. Because too many times we love the gift more than we love the gift giver. Y'all can tweet that one out. We love the gift more than we love the gift giver. And what God will do, he will work on our hearts. You know, I don't know about you, but whenever I read this, I'm like, wow, that's a lot. That's deep. Take your son. And God emphasized, your only son. Now, he had Ishmael. He had Ishmael. Why did God say that? Because this was the one that was closest to his heart. Now, I want you to sacrifice him. And what did Abraham do? Exactly what God told him to do. Let's talk about this whole thing, love. See, God was breaking into humanity. You pull up the next slide. He redefined love through Judaism. Because up until that time, like we said, love was about the flesh. It was about feelings. It was about emotions. You can go to the next slide. Ahava. That's the word that was used there. God says, I want you to take this one. That's so close to your heart. See, I want you, Abraham, to show me through your action that you love me more than you love your son. So you start seeing this word used in Judaism, used and used. Then you get to the Greek, it's agape. It's a deep, sacrificial, never-ending, self-denying love. That's what God wanted in humanity. And God said, let's start there first. Let's start with you understanding it's a sacrifice. It involves action. It's not just random thoughts that we spew out, or it's not just us thinking about how we can feel good. Say, Abraham, prove your love. Is that fair? That man had waited all his life. Is that fair for God to ask us to sacrifice what's important to us? Doesn't feel like it. And really, if we haven't spent time in prayer on our knees and studying the Word of God, we could really get the wrong picture of God. Get the wrong picture of God. Let me give you another scripture. Go to the next slide. You go to the next one. It's really deep when you think about the nature of Yahweh, Jehovah God. He never asked us to do anything he didn't do first. Was it fair for God to sacrifice Jesus? Nobody ever asked that question. We don't ask that question. We're like, God should have did it because I need to be saved. We're okay with that. But for God so loved the world, that God so loved the world that he gave. You know what love is? Love is about sacrifice. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you can read through that on your own time, 1 through 4. All that action, what we do, that's what love is. And, you know, this week, I want to encourage the married couples to have a competition. Let's see who can love the most. Let's see who can give the most, who can serve the most, who can encourage. In fact, wake up tomorrow morning and say, I'm going to outdo you. Because some of us are competitive in our marriages anyway. Now I'm going to give you a spiritual reason to be competitive. You know what? Before you say this, I said it first. Before you encourage me, I'm going to encourage you. Y'all excited about that exercise? Okay, some people laugh like, yeah. You don't know who I'm married to. But remember, if it was worth getting married, it's worth staying married. If we could show that trend. You know, John 3:16, and that's another scripture. We see it so much, I think it's lost some of its meaning. I think it's become very familiar, but it was a serious sacrifice, the most important sacrifice. And here, now when you go back and you study out all those ancient gods, you're not going to find that. You're not going to find that concept of I'm going to do this to save humanity. People who may not even reciprocate. It may just be one person who accepts it. But that should help us understand how valuable a soul is to God. You know, we're going to go ahead and take communion and spend some time reflecting. But before we do that, I wanted my wife to share a few things because I think it will help us also to better grasp what God is doing here.
Thank you to the one I love with all of my heart, Mr. Patterson. You know, Thursday night we had some time with the women and we talked about this, right? So what we did was we closed our eyes, and if you would all just close your eyes for a second, because what we want to do right now, I mean, I think, wow, that last point about love is sacrifice, really, and God did it all. There's nothing more he could do for us. He gave it all. Mm-hmm. And so we in this busy life, we don't always take the time to just meditate on that and just sit in that. So we want to close our eyes and we just want to sit in the love that God has for us. In Christ, because he loved me sacrificially and unconditionally, perfectly and eternally, there's nothing more we can ask for. We are created by his love, in his love, and for his pleasure. Let's take a minute to think about what that means for us and to us. God, as we sit here and we think about your love for each and every one of us, we just want to say thank you. We want to say thank you, Daddy. We want to say thank you, Yahweh. We want to say thank you, Abba. We're so grateful that you adopted us. You chose us before the creation of this world. There's nothing that we've done, nothing that we will do that will ever deserve it, God. Mm-hmm. We're grateful that we're the object of your love. We're Amen. Your treasured possession, God. We're thankful that no matter what mistakes we made, no matter where we've been, no matter what we will do, the sin we will do, God, you love us unconditionally. We thank you, God, that we don't just talk about it. We don't just teach about it. We don't just know about it, God. We want to experience it.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for this time today and the time that this world celebrates love. But thank you that you are the author and perfecter of it, and help us to look to you each and every day to learn how to love you better and to love one another. We love you. We thank you so much for Jesus. We pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.